brain love to me. I think brain love has got to be the most important love ever. Loving what you do. And I think that's very important. You know, I'm a stand-up comic. I enjoy making people laugh. You know, I think when people come to see me, I give them brain love. I relax their minds and I entertain them. Even when I make love in bed, it's brain love. You have to make love to their mind, mentally. Without not getting your dick that far, just mentally make love to people's mind. Brain love could just be just how you feeling, feeling good. Because everything that feels good starts from the brain. You have to think positive. That's what brain love to me. Positive thinking of everything you do. Put your mind into everything you do. Make love to everything mentally. You know what I mean?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Michael Blackson. He makes me laugh so much. Thank you for joining me, guys. If you're here live and you're watching the Brain Love Podcast streaming live, I so appreciate you. We have to care about our brains. I love all of you. I love my brain. I love your brains. And I love and care about your mental health and wellness. This afternoon, it's a very special show. There's someone who's joining me on the couch who is just so dope, man. When I listen to her sing and I listen to her voice, it does something to me. And we need more of her in America. She's in North America, but she's not here in our part of the continent. She's in Canada. So joining me on the couch today, I want you guys to meet, and thank you for being here. For Canadian music fans, the name Joanna Majoko is a familiar one for most of you. This is going to be a new treat. She's a Toronto-based vocalist, composer, and band leader who has established a reputation of one of Canada's most exciting young singers. Majoko has been a regular presence on the bandstand with some of the country's top musicians, including Larnell Lewis, a Snarky Puppy, Jane Bunnett, and oh boy, I should have asked her how to say this next one, Makeke. I'll ask her when she comes on to confirm it. And David Clayton Thomas of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. She has performed at some of the world's biggest festivals and historical venues, such as the Montreal Jazz Festival, France's Jazz Sur Sun 31 Festival, Switzerland's Internationalis Jazz Festival Bern, and the Birdland Jazz Club in New York City. Majoko has also been the recipient of a number of notable accolades, including Emergent Jazz Artist at the 2021 Toronto Arts Foundation Awards, Jazz Artist of the Year at the 2019 By Blacks People's Choice Awards, major grants from the Toronto Arts Council, the Ontario Arts Council, the Canada Council, and Factor, and has been a masterclass artist at multiple universities across Canada, such as McGill University, the University of Manitoba, and the University of Toronto. I have just a little bit more to add about her because you need to know this. She was born in Germany to German and Zimbabwean parents. Majoko spent the majority of her childhood in Zimbabwe, where she grew up speaking Shona and German and participating in choirs, musicals, drum ensembles, and traditional Zimbabwean dance groups. From Zimbabwe, Majoko moved briefly to South Africa. And then at the age of 14, she and her family moved to Manitoba. It was at the University of Manitoba that Majoko would become immersed in jazz and would hone her skills as a vocalist, composer, and band leader. There's so much more to say about her, but I want you to enjoy this interview and meet her and listen. Before I bring her on, open your ears.
Sad and lonely, for you I cry, for you dear only, and why haven't you seen it? For the Bible tells me so, 'cause my mama Papa, he may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Ooh, so you know I wanted to sing. Music therapy is my thing. Singing, although I can't sing, is my thing, but I'm not going to do that today because I do not want to interrupt these vibes from this young lady who's coming up next. So guys, help me welcome to my couch. Hello.
Hi, Delvina. Hi, everybody. How are you?
Yes. Hey, are you ready to take the couch?
Very much. Very so.
Awesome. So I was so excited to introduce you and to get into everything that I didn't introduce myself, but I think most people know who I am, guys. And in case you do not, if this is your first time tuning in, I'm Dr. Delvina Thomas, a board certified psychiatrist right here in South Florida. And the Brain Love podcast has been my baby since May 2020. Every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, a new episode drops, as will this episode in May. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so this lady will be on. She'll be featured May 12th, I believe is the date, the second Sunday in May. The first Sunday in May, my guest is Miss Lunell, the comedian, the bad girl, the original bad girl of comedy. So be on the lookout for that as well. So welcome to the couch, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So we're gonna jump right in. And so, can you confirm how am I supposed to, or how do you pronounce, or how is that name stated?
Makeke.
Mekeke. Thank you.
Makeke, yeah.
So sorry. Apologies to Mekeke for
That's okay.
butchering that. So let's get going. How does music influence your mental well-being?
I think music is the driving force of my mental well-being, especially the last 3 or 4 years. I'm really learning and becoming more aware of my mental health and aspects of my brain that require a little more focus. And music has always been at the forefront of remedying a lot of those things.
Yeah. So what's the earliest memory you have of music making you happy or soothing you or relaxing you? What's your earliest memory from your childhood or from adulthood during which you realize, okay, music really soothes my soul?
I think the first time that I actually realized that music soothes my soul, I was about 14 years old, and I had attended this 1 week-long jazz camp located in North Dakota in the Peace Gardens. And one of the master classes we had, I heard a tune called The Waking by Kurt Elling. It's a poem that he set music to. And it wasn't so much the lyricism, but it was the combination of the lyricism with this bass drone. And it was sort of like a wave of energy over me. And that was the first instance where I realized a spiritual connection, if you would say, to music.
Wow, that's such a beautiful story. I love that. So let's stick with that. Can you share any personal experiences where music has played a significant role in your mental health journey?
Music has played a significant role in my mental health all throughout my life, especially from that moment on, because the urge to pursue music as a career became stronger. And then understanding this sort of spiritual connection to music and what music does to me, but also the effect that not only my voice has on others, but the performance aspect, my musical approach. It was mostly the response I got from others that I really realized how positive and uplifting music can be for mental health.
Yeah, and I can certainly attest to it. And so, you have a very demanding career. You perform. Do you recall when we met the in person the one time? Do you remember that? I know I remember. I don't know if you remember.
Vividly, absolutely,
Yes.
absolutely.
You were on tour in Japan, in Tokyo. Like, how did
It's
that
kind of wild
feel?
that we met that
Yeah,
way.
man.
Yeah, that was my third residency in Tokyo, and the first time was completely surreal. That was sort of the beginning of my career in the international realm with music. And then the other element of it too is the amount of people that you end up meeting and become exposed to, and how my sort of my story or my performance influenced not only the memories of their experience in Tokyo, but the influence it had on me to hear that and to hear where their life has taken them and where they come from.
Yeah, yeah. So one would think that because you're a, I'll call you a musical therapist. You know, there's so many things that music can do for us mentally, that creativity can do for folks who are creatives. I know it's very stimulating for creatives. I consider musicians and singers and musical players to be creatives. So at the same time, it's so challenging, and there's so many hurdles that you have to overcome, and you're faced with a lot of different, how shall I say, spirits in the industry. One would think that because you're soothing yourself with music, that you have it all under control, but I'm sure it's on the contrary, and you may have to sometimes dip into your bag of tools to balance the demands. How do you balance the demands of singing, of jazz, of being a songstress with your own mental health needs?
I wish I could say I have it entirely figured out all the time. I think it's definitely it's not a linear approach at all times, but I have been trying to establish practices, especially when things get a little overwhelming. And a lot of the times I'm a very visual person. So I create lists of what is of top priority and what can I allow for some space, whether it's I need some separation from that project sonically so I can put myself fully into a different project. So if anything, it's just about a balance of priority at the time, because mental health is key. And what I do standing in front of people on a stage, if I'm not feeling well, it definitely translates.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned that you do initiate or deploy things to help yourself. What specifically do you do? Like, do you do yoga every day? Do you walk outside? And Toronto is beautiful. Do you get a lot of fresh air? What do you do specifically?
I actually like to start my mornings. I have a balcony. So, you know, sunbathing for 10, 15 minutes, nothing too long. And I work out 5 days a week, and it is purely for mental health as well as remaining strong, because living a life on the road as well, it's very taxing on the body as well as the mind. Especially when I'm feeling low, I usually try to tap in and ask myself, what is it that's triggering the sense of low? What is the root emotion behind that? A lot of the times it's an overconsumption of social media, which we rely on predominantly for what we do in this day and age. And I ask myself, okay, so what is it about social media that's feeling like it's triggering you? As an artist, as a creative, it's hard not to fall into the trenches of comparing yourself to others. So a lot of I've recently realized that is really a key indicator of focusing on my inner child, and maybe there's a tinge of insecurity there. Whether that's a present insecurity or something that comes from inner child, a trigger from past times.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being forthcoming about that. I think social media is a challenge for a lot of us, not just kids and teens, but adults as well. All the comparisons, and I can only imagine as someone who's in the industry that has to be a struggle some days going on. And, you know, I speak to other folks who are in different parts of entertainment industries, comedians and so on and so forth. And they see when someone else is, they have a project or something worked out for them. And for them, let's say they're working on something and they're trying to get that to be successful or get picked up. It plays with your psyche at times. So I'm glad Absolutely. You mentioned that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So how do you think the improvisational nature of jazz affects your mental state while performing? So when you have to improvise or create things, and I know you guys do that a lot in jazz. I don't know, is scatting considered improvising?
100%. That's okay, exactly what it is. Yeah.
So can you scat a little bit?
But let it, let it, let it, let it, let it, let it die.
Yes. What do people tell you about your voice and how it makes you feel? What's the feedback you've received?
A lot of the times I get told that I have a very healing voice. A lot of people get brought to tears, not in the sense of triggering them with negative emotions, but I've been told that it feels like a wash of healing energy.
I bet. Because I was in a trance when we saw you in Japan and you were performing. Like, I was like, it was unbelievable.
Thank you.
Like, oh my God, I'm seeing this lady in this hotel / lounge / jazz, because you know the setup is like a jazz lounge. It's mm-hmm. It was a large place, but sort of intimate as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, Japan has a huge appreciation for jazz.
Absolutely, it's kind of a wild anomaly because they have this ability to submerge themselves in so many different cultures and genres, and they honor it very well.
yeah mm-hmm. they absolutely do. So have you encountered any stigmas or challenges regarding mental health within your musical community, not necessarily just jazz but the musical community, and if so, how do you navigate it? And allow me to be a little specific. I know from watching you know, different biographies about different singers like Whitney Houston and the late Aretha Franklin, and rest in peace to both of those ladies, rest in glory to them. Also some of the old jazz artists, how huge drugs like dope and heroin and cocaine was mm-hmm. for these artists. And so we know now that a lot of times people would self-medicate with the recreational drugs and with the alcohol. Mm-hmm. Is it hard for you to push the agenda of healthy, or is it a challenge with your musical peers to push the agenda of healthy coping, mental wellness, and not allowing yourself to explore or indulge in those unhealthy vices? Is there a stigma behind that? Because again, we hear from so many artists, and especially hip hop artists, where you know, they gotta smoke the cannabis or use the molly or pop the pills to cope with being in the industry. Loaded question, I know.
Absolutely. I think probably about 5 or 6 years ago, so pre-pandemic especially, there were sort of two camps that I've been privy to. And there's the one camp, for backstory, for me, I've never had an issue not abstaining from alcohol. I've never really enjoyed alcohol. So that's never been a vice for me. And I'm very grateful for that, especially in the music community and atmosphere. There's a big culture of music with alcohol. So I've experienced times being on gigs and performances where being offered a drink by a patron, an audience member, even a bandmate, and declining it. And the reaction is, oh, well, that's surprising, you know? So there is a stigma and a pressure. And then all of a sudden there's a sense of like, well, how could you not want to enjoy a drink? I don't need to enjoy a drink to do what I do or enjoy this moment. And if anything, I know that it inhibits me from accessing a lot of my creativity in the moment. So at the beginning, it was hard to sort of stand firm in, well, this is how I feel, and I don't need to engage in that. And I think the culture around alcohol in general, not even just in the music community, people are really becoming aware of the grave negative effects on the body, but on the brain specifically. So there are more and more people within my circles of music that have chosen to stop drinking altogether, have chosen to stop using any type of substances, really, because they realize how much of an effect that has had on their mental health. And because of what we do already requires so much self-motivation, you need as much mental support and stability as you can garner.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you specifically stated certain things, especially about alcohol. Mm-hmm. April was, depending on when you listen to this podcast, Alcohol Awareness Month, Stress Awareness Month. And we know that using vices like recreational drugs and pills and alcohol for some people is their way of coping with stress. So having these talks on the podcast, it's to teach people about healthier ways to cope with these things. And music is such an effective way to deal with stress. If you're having a stressful day at work, turn on some music, whatever that genre may be that you adore, that you like. And I just want to put this in too, just to interject, that the newest recommendation now no longer states that a shot of liquor or whiskey or one cocktail or one beer has positive or beneficial effects for our bodies and our well-being. Actually, the recent update is that no alcohol is the healthiest thing you can do for your brain, your body, and for your mental health and wellness.
Absolutely.
Can you discuss the importance of self-care and mental health awareness within the context of being a professional musician? You've already pretty much touched on a lot of it, but I'm sure, especially with you traveling, self-care is essential for you.
Mm. Self-care is the most essential, especially on the road. You're in different atmospheres. You're around different people. Sometimes you're not always around supportive people. So being able to have a toolkit that you can dip into, that you know you can depend on yourself to help bring you back to baseline. And that can look very different for me. To be very honest, sometimes having a good cry, 5-10 minute cry, and then getting yourself back together and getting to that sound check or lobby call for the next hit is really all it takes. But everything from journaling and keeping an active lifestyle has been my best outlet. So when I'm feeling any type of difficult feelings, just putting that through physical exercise helps a lot. And at the same time, listening to music and singing, you know, releasing. I'm learning a lot about somatic therapy and just even making sound, how therapeutic that can be for the body.
Yes, 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 and yes. So we have just a couple of questions left. We have a few more moments. I'd like to play another video of you singing because some folks came on late, so they missed the goodness at the beginning, but you can definitely go back and watch. So check this out, guys. Talk to us about where you are. What is that, and when did that come out?
Absolutely. That song, or at least the concept of it, was born shortly after I graduated from my university studies in jazz studies. And when you're in, you know, when you're university, you have tunnel vision and your only goal is to get to the end and to do it as well as possible. And so I graduated, and now being a full-fledged self-employed musician and artist, okay, what direction do I go in? How do I start generating a career? And that came with a lot of fear, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of avenues that I wanted to venture in. And I realized I was becoming lost in the imagination of what could be. And so this song really speaks to doing your best to stay present and centered in reality, being able to look at your goals and dreams as somewhere to reach, but enjoy the process, enjoy the presence.
Yeah. So guys, I had her banner up, so you can start following her, go to her website, Check her out on Instagram and all of her social media handles. It'll come back up again. I know people are enjoying your sound. The last person said soothing sound. I wholeheartedly agree with you, Erica. And Franklin Myrtle, beautiful music. And so I know I played this already, but for the latecomers, I have to play this one again. I'm so sorry.
Sad and lonely, for you I cry, for you dear only, and why haven't you seen it?
And there it is again, so you guys can follow her on her handles. Become a monthly listener on Spotify. It really helps a lot of creatives. And by the way, you can follow and subscribe to the Brain Love Podcast on Spotify as well. As you're going on Spotify to subscribe to this young lady so that you can hear her music, let's support one another. So thank you so much for sharing everything that you have. We're not finished yet. We're getting to the end. Where are you? You're in Canada now, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am in Toronto.
Okay, you're in Toronto. Mm-hmm. What's the next big gig that you have? What are you doing in terms of performances? Where can people see you next?
Absolutely. I've got a beautiful candlelight performance coming up next week, Wednesday, May 1st. So if you're in Toronto, would love to see you. We have two show times, and all those details are on my website, joannamajoko.com. The next couple months, I'm actually going to be working on a few records. So taking a slight backseat to live performances and focusing on being in the studio.
Oh, I'm happy. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. You have several singles. It's time for a full record.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we want it. So I think you have some new followers. And so we have a couple of questions. Have you ever used your platform as a jazz singer to raise awareness about mental health issues? Like, do you talk to the crowd about taking care of themselves while you're singing in between hooks and things like that?
Absolutely. I think that is one of the biggest messages that I try to portray, not only to audience members, but through my music. I would like to think I'm a positive person, and I always want to exude that in what I do. Yeah. And just let people know that they're always supported.
Listen, you got someone who wants to be the lead in your next music video.
I have to call you for auditions.
Yeah. Let us know when you hold auditions. Franklin is a mess. So yes, Miss Deetra, she is such a vibe, and I love listening to her music. We had her on yesterday in the office. As we're wrapping up, what advice would you give to aspiring musicians regarding maintaining good mental health while pursuing a career in jazz?
I would say, don't worry. You have all the time in the world. Don't feel like you've run out of time or you've missed out. And I think that's the biggest key to maintaining mental health is your time will come, and enjoy it.
Okay. That has been the word. And so, guys, I want to keep to my word. I don't want to keep you too long. I know we're closing out the day. Everyone's getting started on their weekend. Before I'll end the show with one more video by this beautiful lady with this beautiful sultry voice. But before we do that, say brain love.
Brain love.
All right, we're out of here, guys. See ya, everyone.
Bye, everybody.